Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And today we're talking about the movie What If?
What If is a 2013 film. It stars Daniel Radcliffe, Zoe Kazan, who we've already talked about on this podcast, Megan Park, Adam Driver, and Mackenzie Davis.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed by
Mike. Also, I would add Rafe Spall.
And Rafe Spall, true.
Yeah.
It's directed by Michael Dowse, written by Elon Mastai. Based on a play called Toothpaste and Cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Has a Rotten Tomato score of 72%.
Really?
Yep.
That's amazing.
The IMDb score is 6.8 out of 10.
That's about what I figured. But like 70-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. That's, yeah, man. I'm impressed.
I mean, it's a pretty good movie. I get why.
Yeah. No, it... This movie just feels, it's a little bit, like, the way that I describe it to my mom is, like, it's quirky, and,
yeah,
like, it's quirky, it's like, and it's very kind of, like, left of center, like, for Rotten Tomatoes, like, I wasn't expecting something to be, like, that critically high, like, but then again, you know, there are plenty of movies that I don't get around to watching that are actually, like, very critically acclaimed.
It's true.
Because I never know how to feel about critical results.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, my temperament is not always the same.
Well, and like, Daniel Radcliffe being in this made it, for me at least, made me know what it was ahead of time. Because yeah. Dan Rad is such a huge, like, following since Harry Potter and everything. Although I did love the story about how he was really excited to do this movie. Because it was the first not Harry Potter and not, like, period.
It was the first contemporary thing. Yeah. And, like, I basically just got to wear regular clothes and step onto set, and it was great.
Yeah, and say my lines. That's all I had to do. Which is great.
But if you haven't seen this movie, the synopsis of it is, Wallace, who is bummed out from a string of failed relationships, forms an instant bond with Chantry, who lives with her longtime boyfriend. Together, they puzzle out what it means if your best friend is also the love of your life.
And we mentioned Zoe Kazan because she was in Ruby Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Megan Park, who plays her sister Dahlia.
Yes.
Has done mostly Hallmark movies.
Yes.
Which cracked me
up. Wasn't she also on The Secret Life of the American Teenager?
Yes, she was. I actually wrote that down.
I hate that I know that.
And then, of course, Adam Driver.
He's Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. He was on Girls. I don't typically like him and stuff. I really enjoyed him in this movie.
He annoyed me a little bit.
He had the first line that made me laugh out loud in the movie.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was now. It's been a few days. But it's when he's introducing Wallace and Chantry. And he's like, Wallace has been hibernating for a year since he had a breakup. And Chantry's da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, he's been hibernating like an adorable little bear cub because of his broken heart. Yeah, I had, like, that line down.
His and Wallace's relationship was so funny. To me, like, there were points where he went too far.
Yes, that...
But I enjoyed their actual dynamic together.
The way that I describe this to my mom, because my mom is not a fan of Will Ferrell at all.
Yeah.
And I told her, like, the way that I described it to her is, like, this movie, it's like, you have your two main characters, and, like, they're great. Like, they're golden, and I love them. It's like, but all of the supporting people, it's like, they're kind of like Will Ferrell characters that after a certain point, you're just kind of like, ugh, okay.
See, I didn't feel that way at all.
It just occasionally.
Yeah.
Because because I think like Adam Driver's character, and like I'm completely forgetting his name.
Alan,
there we go. That there were just some times that, like, it was like, okay, like, you're making a good point here, and then just like something he would say, I'm like, okay, and now I'm done.
Yeah. He makes his points in totally crass, horrible ways.
I think that's what got to me. It's like, I'm just not a fan of crass.
I don't know why, because normally I'm not either, but there was something about most of his deliveries, especially the early ones, like when he said like he was like a puppy, and there was something, he endeared himself to me so early that I forgave the horrible stuff later.
Right.
I mean, and then he crosses a line later, and he gets called on it, which is also great. But then the woman who ends up being his girlfriend and wife, Mackenzie Davis, she has been in so much stuff.
This, like, is going to sound really weird. Did she or did she not remind you a little bit of Kobe Smulders?
A little bit. I was going to say Ashley Johnson, Kobe Smulders kind of mixed.
There was just something about, like, the timbre of her voice and, like, some of her mannerisms. Like,
well, I mean,
She reminded me of, like, Kobe Smulders, like, Robin Sparkles, kind of.
Yeah, the big thing I have seen her in is The Martian.
Okay, I've not seen that
she
movie.
Plays Mindy, mm-hmm. which I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that's one of the people on the team of scientists that are yeah. on the ship. I think she's the one who gets with Sebastian Stan. I'd have to double check that.
I have not seen this movie at all.
I really like The Martian. Like, I typically, that's not my typical kind of movie, mm-hmm. but Sebastian, like Matt Damon, I dig Matt Damon normally, but I'm really picky on his movies.
I can take or leave him.
Yeah, I'm really picky on his movies. I dig him, like, especially when he does, like, stupid cameos. Like, I always think that's really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, his Deadpool 2 cameo and his Thor cameo. Like,
Deadpool 2?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When Cable arrives, or no, it's Thanos. Sorry, Infinity War. I'm allowed to get, no, it's Cable.
Cable, okay.
It's Cable.
When Cable arrives. I had completely forgotten about
it's
that.
It's him and Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
And no one right. knew it was Matt Damon because Matt Damon stayed in makeup the whole time.
Yeah.
And I love it.
No, I had completely yeah. forgotten about that. I had jumped to, like, the X-Force or whatever, oh, yeah. and I'm like.
No, that's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I
know. But yeah, I just really like that movie in general. And so remembering that she's, I think that's who she is in this movie, because there's a lot of stuff that happens on the ground on Earth, but then there's two or three women up in space as well. So I have to keep straight right. characters. I haven't seen it but once or twice. But anyway, so she's in that, which to me is mm-hmm. like such a departure from this role. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. And of course, Rafe Spall, who you mentioned,
yes.
Plays Ben, but he is the son of Timothy Spall, who was in Harry Potter.
Who was Wormtail, yes.
But then, and the director has directed things like Take Me Home Tonight. Like, he's not done. I think Take Me Home Tonight was the thing he did just previously to this mm-hmm. movie. And, like, he's not. To me, he's done, like, more like just weird comedy type.
Right.
Type thing. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. This movie is, like, you know, based in a play, and you can tell it's based in a play. Like,
yes.
some of the lines and the language and.
Which, like, I appreciated that. Yeah. This, I think, as many times as I have said, I could see this as a play. Like, to actually, like, be watching a movie that is based on a play.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. And I would go see that play.
Yeah. Now, the I think it's the IMDb synopsis or Netflix. I forget where I watched it.
The synopsis that I used was off of IMDb. It says he's, like, bummed out from a string of failed relationships.
Yeah.
That's not entirely accurate. Well,
the Amazon Prime one said that his roommate is da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no. Alan's his old roommate. Like, he doesn't live with Alan anymore.
I will say this. Like, they did have a very, like, college roommate yes. feel to them.
Yes, they did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, we meet them. We meet Wallace at a party. That is being hosted by Alan.
Yeah.
Well, first you see him perching. Yeah.
First, yeah. Important to note is that the first time we see Wallace, like, he's perched on the rooftop mm-hmm. of his sister's house where he lives in the attic.
And he's giving the voiceover in the beginning.
He's, it opens with him. He's listening to very apologetic voicemail
yeah.
from someone named Megan. And we get that, you know, it's an ex, and she's apologizing, like, profusely for,
yeah.
you know, for something that she did. It doesn't, you know, get into specifics. And we find out, like, he's had this voicemail saved on his phone for, like, over a year.
Yeah, it's more than 300 and whatever days.
It's, like, 374 something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's basically, like, a year and 2 weeks, I think was the, how the timetable worked out. And so, like, it's been, you know, a little over a year and he finally deletes the message yeah. and then goes off to Alan's party.
And there he meets Chantry.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a
magnet poem
on the thing. It's like, love is a bunch of flying monkeys.
No, it starts off like he's putting love is stupid.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Chantry, like, watching him, and, like, she's approaching, and it cuts back to, and he's finishing it. It's like monkeys dancing slapstick in a hurricane.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh because I don't know if you remember this. Our friend Meg, she had those, she had the magnetic poetry. She had that on her fridge in college.
Yeah.
And it's, we had a whole thing of, like, how she didn't have, for some reason, it was really weird. Like, in her magnetic poetry set, she didn't have the words, like, tomorrow, and you know, there was like five or six words that were like, why don't these exist? This is weird. And so as a Christmas gift, our friend Jared made those magnets for her.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was like, well, it was the Christmas before I got there,
but
yeah.
I heard about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was pretty great. Like, I just kept thinking about that and like the word poetry, you know, that we would make on Meg's fridge in the dorm. It was good times.
Yeah, and Chantry, you know, has her words to say to Wallace.
Yes.
And then she winds up writing a different poem.
Well, on the door. This first exchange, like, that they have, is, you know, he's doing this, like, she comes up, and I can't remember what Chantry says to him, but, you know, he, like, she's basically, like, hovering right next to him, and he kind of gives her a look, and he's like, this is supposed to be an anonymous fridge poem.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, and here I am quietly judging you.
Yeah.
And, like, leaves, and, you know, they... comes or here I am quietly judging you, and he says, well, I can handle it. I've humiliated myself much more thoroughly in front of people I actually know.
Yeah, their banter back and forth, like their immediate, like,
oh yeah,
that immediate, like, I'm gonna take the piss out on you, and
yeah, exactly.
The response being okay, sure,
right,
and is great. Yeah,
yeah. It's, and then it's at that point that Alan comes along and he's like, this is my cousin.
I see you met my cousin, sort of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So then that's how you introduce him.
And this is, you know, this is me, you know, my roommate Walt, in my college roommate Wallace. He's been hibernating like an adorable little bear cub because of his broken heart.
Yeah. And Wallace, like, thanks for that. Yeah, I appreciate that. Like, you could just see it on his face. He's like, I hate you so much for this.
Right.
Like, why would you do this to me?
And at some point in it, because you might remember this more than I do because you have an extra day.
Yeah.
Okay. Full disclosure, normally when we were going to record this on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and normally in that situation, I watch the movie on a Tuesday night and come over Wednesday after I get off
work. And I watch it on Wednesday morning or early afternoon.
Yeah, early afternoon, like before I get here. We had some like weather issues, and so I didn't feel comfortable and like didn't want to drive over. And so we said, we'll save it for Saturday. I did not rewatch this movie anytime during this, so I might miss some of the finer details.
We might be fuzzier than normal.
We might be a little fuzzier than normal. And I just have the note here, like, there's a pronunciation correction. Like, they're, I can't remember what it is, but there's something with the two of them, like, they're at the fridge. Like, they're, one of them is correcting how the other one pronounces something, and I don't remember
what it is. No, I don't remember either.
Like, I don't remember what it is, but,
Yeah, because then that goes off into another bantery of, like, being a grammar.
Yeah.
You're one of those people. Yeah, I'm one of those people that people speak correctly. Like, it goes off into another cute. Like, they have a lot of times, and I didn't write them all down, because there's a lot of times where they go off into that cute, I say cutesy, it's them picking at each other, but right. It's in a very cute, funny way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write most of them down.
I just have that, and then I have, you know, he tells her, I have a dead-end job, I live in my sister's attic, and I basically never go out. And so, you know, he's kind of telling her that this is the first time he's really been out in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember, like, I wish I could remember what that pronunciation correction was.
And then they kind of split off and go do their own thing, and mm-hmm. then they're both leaving.
He's like, I was going to leave without saying goodbye. Oh, and here I was going to do the exact same thing to you. Like, like a total dick.
So they put their jackets on, and they're both heading out, and they're walking the same direction.
And he's like, oh, well, you know.
Is it okay if I walk with you? Like, it's not trying to be creepy. They just both have to walk the same mm-hmm. way. And they start walking, and he actually makes it to Chantry's place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she mentions, my boyfriend's probably really worried about me. And his face falls.
Because mm-hmm.
he's already said, like, we should do this again sometime. It's been really fun. And so she's getting ready to give him her number. And that's when she mentions her boyfriend. And mm-hmm. he's like, you can see, like, the okay, great.
Yeah.
Kind of face.
Yeah. And so that's when, you know, they, you know, she gives him her number, like, he walks off, he goes back to the roof of his sister's place, and he's holding the paper with her phone number on it, and he just lets it go.
And that's when we get our first weird cartoon thing of the movie.
Yeah, because we hadn't mentioned, Chantry is a...
illustration.
She's an animator. She's an animator. And so this happens several times during the movie. It's like... Typically, which this felt a little weird to me. It's like normally the other animations are kind of like when she's like staring off into mm-hmm. space or something happens with her. Mm-hmm. This is the only one that happens
with him. And I find it weird.
I do too.
I found it very, very weird. I was like, oh, is this going to be like a thing through the movie? Like, we're going to follow the animated creature? Is this like a dream?
Yeah.
What's happening? And then no, nothing comes of it. So I thought that was weird. But so then... we meet his sister, played by Jemima Rooper, who I adore. She was in a movie called Lost, or miniseries called Lost in Austin.
Right. She's that's the main where
character.
I've seen her.
Yeah. She's the main character. It's about a girl who essentially trades places with Elizabeth Bennet. Like, Elizabeth voluntarily does it. It's not like, ooh, we just sucked into each other's worlds. No, they wind up trading places, and so she goes to Austin era,
right,
to live as Elizabeth Bennet in the Bennet household during the events of the book, and Elizabeth Bennet comes to London to get to live in modern day London, which is so strange. Like, and she ruins the book. Like, her sister Jane winds up married to Mr. Collins, and it's really weird.
It's weird. But
she's really enjoyable in it, which is,
but she, his sister, I cannot remember his sister's name.
I don't think I wrote it down.
We will find out in a minute.
I got this.
But I love, you know, his sister is asking him to babysit his nephew, Felix, while she goes out on a date.
Ellie.
Thank you. Ellie asks Wallace, you know, to babysit her son while she goes out on this date. And I do love, you know, he asked her, like, well, how long are you going to be? She's like, you know, could be midnight, you know, if it goes well, or 8 o'clock if it doesn't. And I love, she tells him, like, what is it, like, no ice cream, no horror movies.
No snacks, no horror movies.
No snacks, no horror movies. And, like, there was something else.
And he's to go to bed at a decent time.
Right. And so she comes back from this date, it's one of the worst, like, god-awful, like, B-real horror movies that they're watching. And I love, like, the kid has, like, the entire, like, pint of ice cream, and it's just, like, scooping it out from, and Wallace is eating a bowl of popcorn, and, like, something truly horrendously graphic is happening, and, like, they both are just staring at the television. And he's like, okay, close your eyes, bud. And the kid just keeps on staring. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, it's safe to look. And like, about that time, like, they hear her coming in, like, very quickly, like, shove the snacks under the table, like, under
change the channel.
Yeah, change the channel.
But it's like, it's such a practiced move. They've done it so many times.
They've done this so often. And like, she comes in and, like, flops down on the couch next to him, kind of, like, leans.
It was a bad date, clearly.
It was a bad date. She comes in, just, like, leans on Felix, and then reaches down, picks up the ice cream, and then changes back to the horror movie.
Yeah.
I love that little family dynamic.
It's such a great little moment.
Yeah, it's so good.
And then we go to where they're going to meet up, essentially where Chantry and Wallace meet again.
Yes.
And that is at a showing of The Princess Bride, which we have covered, our love.
Which is the very first movie we covered.
Yeah, I wrote it in all caps, like, Princess Bride!
Oh, me too!
So exciting! And they both pretend they don't see each other because it's awkward. And then a cabbie drives up and goes, you guys need a ride? And they both, oh, we saw each other now.
Yeah.
Dang it. No, we're good. Thanks.
And they're like, oh, I didn't expect to see you there.
And so they start talking, and she says, my boyfriend couldn't get off work, and so I can't see it by myself. And he's like, well, I'm the loser who was seeing it by themselves.
Right.
Because it's one of his favorite movies, which it's a great movie.
Yes.
So.
And while, you know, they're walking along together, and the conversation, like, they start having this conversation, and Chantry tells him, I don't think you can have The Princess Bride as your favorite movie if you think that love makes you a worse person. Mm-hmm. He's, well, that's completely irrelevant. The Princess Bride is a fairy tale. In fairy tales, love inspires you to be noble and courageous, but in real life, love is an all-purpose excuse for selfish behavior. You can lie and cheat and hurt people, and it's okay because you're in love. Like, so yeah, he's a cynical twat sometimes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And when you find out his backstory, it kind of makes sense and everything. But yeah, she's very much like, oh my gosh. So they keep talking, and they decide to go get food.
Fried pickles for the win, by the way.
See, I hate pickles. So
oh my god, I would eat pickles on, specifically dill pickles. I would eat them on anything.
I believe it's at this point, and he calls pickle jars just a tomb for cucumbers.
That's what she calls them.
One of them calls it that, because he likes the fried pickles.
Yes.
And she does not. And I was like, I'm with her. Yep.
He's basically like, this is at the point we learn that he dropped out of med school, because he was like, trust me, like, all the ways that I defiled bodies, like, this comes nowhere close to.
Yeah. she asks him, can't we just be friends? It's really hard. For some reason, it's hard for a girl with a boyfriend to get guy friends. Mm-hmm. because for that, you know, it's like if they can't sleep with me.
Yeah, it's like he walks her back.
Yeah,
he walks her back to his place, and like she tells him, like, I totally get that guys don't want to hang out with the girl with the boyfriend because it just, you know, but it just sucks. You know, it makes you feel like the only thing that's interesting about you is how you look with your clothes off. But it should be easier to make friends if you have a boyfriend because there's no confusion.
Exactly, and I really enjoyed that quote. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a really good like. Really good quote.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so then he's like, yeah, okay, sure. I'm yeah, okay, let's be friends.
Right.
Cause he was being a dick and he realizes it. So then they end up emailing because when he was talking about fried foods, brought up a food and he couldn't explain what it was called Fool's Gold.
Just something that he had heard about called Fool's Gold. Cause they end up on this whole topic of like celebrity autopsies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like how that was something that he learned in med school was like the autopsy details, like from when Elvis died and like he had, you know, like all the stuff that he had in his body. And like, yeah, that's the thing about this movie is like, it goes off into like some like
weird tangent areas.
Some weird tangents that you're just like, okay, I didn't want to know that.
Zoe Kazan's partner, I don't know if it's current partner or past partner, was in Swiss Army Man with Dan Rad.
Paul Dano?
Yeah, was in Swiss Army Man with him.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny. Because that's a movie I won't watch because I don't think I could get through the gross out humor.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was like, they're talking about the grossest, like, dead body thing. And then he goes on to do a movie with someone else in her life that's the grossest dead body thing. But yeah, so they, because of that, he ends up emailing her
when he figures it out. What Fool's Gold is.
He emails her what Fool's Gold is. And what it is, it's a loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. That has been slathered in butter and baked again.
Yes.
And then cut open, hollowed out. One side you put a jar of peanut butter. Jar of peanut butter.
See.
The other side.
You're allowed to be wrong, but peanut butter's great.
I hate peanut butter. But the other side you put a whole jar of jelly. And then you put a bunch of bacon in the middle.
A pound of
crispy bacon in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Elvis loved to eat. And I'm like, that's so gross. Why would you defile bacon in such a way?
Dude, but anyway. Bacon and peanut butter is good. You are allowed to be wrong.
I admit, but I fully take being wrong. According to other people's opinions, I have never liked peanut butter. But anyway.
Peanut butter's so good.
So I love that discussion. Like, just that whole little back and forth. Because they email back and forth about it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, they email. Well, yeah, because like, and it turned, because like basically like he finds out like, okay, this is what Fool's Gold is, and then she comes back with like some other fact about it.
Like how they got it or something.
Yes, like how, and so like it becomes just like a whole like
a running joke.
Yeah, like a whole like basis of conversation for them that extends over a period of like not just email, but like, you know, they'll talk about it, you know, when they're hanging out together.
Yeah.
And eventually, like through the whole email exchange, she invites him to dinner. With her boyfriend, you know, to come to dinner with, you know, or have dinner with me and Ben.
And then before he actually goes to dinner, he's talking it over with Alan because there's a line in here that's horrible.
I missed it. Yeah.
There's a line that's horrible and I love it because Alan is basically, okay, this is one of the times Alan is giving good advice in a gross way. But that's good advice.
That's, Alan does.
Alan's biggest thing is he's like, okay, number one, this is my cousin, so you shouldn't be going over there if you're just trying to break her and her boyfriend up. That's not right.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not trying to do that, man. He goes, but you like her. He goes, well, yeah, but we're just friends. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's all good. And he was like, you know, she's got a boyfriend, and you've told me yourself, if it starts dirty, it ends dirty. I mean, you remember me and so-and-so, to which he responds, yeah, that ended dirty. It ended real dirty. Gonorrhea and a fist fight dirty. I lost it.
I had forgotten about
gonorrhea
that.
Gonorrhea and a fist fight dirty is one of the worst best lines I've ever heard.
That did make me laugh. I had forgotten about that.
It was Daniel Radcliffe's line, or it was Wallace's line, but he's telling it to Alan. Meanwhile, Alan, because we didn't really talk about this, but I think it's an interesting thing. The night that Chantry and Wallace meet is also the night that Alan meets Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Nicole is moving in with Alan. So it's been a little while.
It's been a couple of months,
long,
at least.
Not long,
but
a little while. So Alan is buying a moving in with me present.
He's buying a housewarming present because Wallace says, like, why do you need to buy a housewarming present for a girl who's moving into your house?
Yeah.
And Alan basically tells him, he's like, dude, like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know this. I don't understand this shit. Like, I don't understand the etiquette. It's like, but I would rather put in too much effort than not enough.
Which I appreciate. Like, right. Like, Alan and Nicole are crazy weirdos, but they are so perfect for each other that it's awesome. Like, it I love that. Like, they're so weird. Because, like, and we'll get to it later, but Wallace has a line about them later that is brilliant.
Yes, very true.
Wallace goes over to Ben and Chantry's apartment, which Chantry throws me off because of Dragon Age and everything, so I keep messing up the name in my head.
The other thing, like, some people pronounce it Chantry, and then other people will pronounce it Chantry. And so, like, I don't know, like, yeah. I'm going with the Dragon Age pronunciation, exactly, which too. Is, we're probably completely wrong.
Probably,
but an important thing to note when she goes over here for dinner is that Chantry's sister, Dahlia, mm-hmm. Has come over, and, like, it's clear she has just broken up with somebody. Like, she is 100% on the rebound.
And because she says it. I mean, yeah. She doesn't even hide it. She's like, is he cute? Because I could really use a guy to basically sleep with. The other line that she said that just made me facepalm, because Dahlia is, like, crying on the couch, and she goes, I really liked him. I'm going to, like, I don't even really want to sleep with his friends to get revenge. I mean, I'm going to do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to do it. But I feel bad about it now. Girl! No! But anyway, so yeah. So he comes over, and Dahlia is immediately, you know, on the make. But Ben, very quietly,
oh my God,
issues a threat.
It's... Ben is the, you know, Rafe's ball.
Yeah.
And...
He's a UN attorney for copyright law. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. The whole exchange, you know, Wallace gets there, you know, like, he's brought wine, you know, like, introductions, and so, like, the girls are talking, like, they end up on one side of the kitchen, and Wallace is standing there next to Ben, and Ben just, like, leans in and just quietly says, like, are you trying to sleep with my girlfriend? He's like, I have no problem with the concept of Chantry having guy friends, but if you're trying to split us up so you can move in, and, like, threatens him with a knife.
Well, he's in that moment, he's cutting peppers.
Oh, my God.
Because then he fit, and immediately, you know, Wallace is like, no, we're just friends. It's all good. We're just friends. Like, nothing questionable going on here. We're just friends.
Which, this is the moment, like... The way that Ben is portrayed in this movie, like, he's never, like, an out-and-out, like, real bad guy. Like, he might be a little morally gray in places, but you get the idea that, like, he genuinely loves Chantry. But, like, the line, like, where he says, I have no problem with the concept of her having guy friends. I'm like, okay, dude.
I think I get what he was trying to say, which is that, like, I'm okay with her having guy friends, but most of the people that try to get friends with her are trying to sleep with her and break us up. Like, because I see where he's coming from. Like, when you have someone like Zoe Kazan, who is very sweet and very, like that character is, like Chantry is, from his perspective, most guys that are coming in are not coming in to just be friends.
I get it. I didn't necessarily have to like it, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
But it's at this point that we have a few minutes of the movie that are straight up farcical.
Oh, yeah. Screwball farcical comedy.
Because Ben has been cutting jalapenos, and then he puts his finger in his eye.
Yep.
And so he's, like, screaming and crying, and, like, as you would do when you get very hot pepper in your eye.
Yep.
And so Chantry is basically like, Wallace, like, you were in med school. Like, what do we do? What do we do? And he's like, okay, saline solution. Like, do you wear contacts? And so, you know, they send him off to the bathroom to get the saline solution. So he's digging for it.
He does get sidetracked for a moment on his way back when he sees the picture of the two of them.
And so during all of this, Ben has been stumbling around blindly. And comes, like, further into the room.
And Chantry reaches up and, like, tries to dab at his eye. He goes, and he ends up getting it in the other eye, too. So he's now blind.
Like, because there's jalapeno on the towel. And so she gets jalapeno in the other eye. So, yeah, he's completely blind, stumbling around. Wallace comes out of the bathroom, hits Ben with the door.
Because he can't see him.
Yeah.
It's a completely, like...
Wallace cannot see Ben. Ben can't see Wallace. Wallace opens the door. Hits Ben with it. Ben goes flying backwards and goes straight out the fucking open window.
Which he had... It's such a brilliant scene from a comedy aspect.
Yes.
Because they had Wallace open the window when they came in. Like, this would never have happened if Wallace...
had not opened the window.
Had opened the window when they first walked in. Like, it's such a... Like, it was such a beautiful setup.
It...
Comedy moment.
I was... doubled over laughing.
Yeah. Oh, like, so it's like, such a great comedy moment.
It literally turns into a farce at this moment. And so then we have...
I was like, worst dinner party ever. Like, oof. But so then they have him in the ambulance.
The ambulance. Yeah, they're all in the ambulance with him. Like, they go to the hospital, and this is where Dahlia says she will stay in the room. Like, she will stay in the room with Ben, and Chantry and Wallace can, you know, can go get something to eat. And so, like, they go out and find a vending machine, and this is where Wallace is explaining... you know, like, his parents being divorced, you know, like, because
they cheated on each other all the time.
Because his parents were doctors and they,
like, surgeons. Yeah. They were like Grey's Anatomy level surgeons.
Oh my God.
What he describes, like, they were so busy sleeping with each other. How did they have time to work?
Yeah. It's like they both slept around and, you know, they cheated. And, like, I think his parents got divorced when he was like seven
or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. And then, you know, like, they're talking, and then you just see, you know, this sort of, like, group of doctors sort of, like, walking down the corridor, and he just gets this, like, stricken kind of look on his face.
He asks her,
he's like, you don't know how to teleport, do you?
She's like, what?
It's like, what? And so that's when, you know, he tells her, is like, you know, or I don't even know if he tells her.
He says something like, this is going to be awkward.
Yeah, this is going to be really awkward.
There's the ex.
Yeah, there's his ex, Megan, who had the voicemail at the beginning of it.
The moment when she's like, there are two sides to every story, and I'm sure you've heard all about me. And
she answers like, no, he's literally never mentioned you.
Yep.
Oh, and I do love that she just starts rambling.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm sorry, you have to please excuse me. I've been awake for 36 hours. And it's, like, she's just so exhausted and like, dead on her feet. Like, it was a moment that could have been played very, very, very awkwardly, and it wasn't.
It actually came off fine.
And I appreciated that so hard.
The person that felt the most awkward was Megan, the ex.
Yeah.
Which was great. Because, like, Wallace is over her. Like, Wallace is actually completely over her.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, it's over. Let's not dwell. Let's just move on. Although she does tell him not to eat the tuna salad because it's gross. And he had just bought the tuna salad.
He had just bought the tuna salad from the vending machine.
But yeah, then we have another, I think it's another section with Alan. So I just have the quote written down here.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Love is dirty, baby. Sometimes it's downright filthy.
Yes.
Like,
is this during the whole sex and nachos exchange?
Yes. Because that's where that's after. Because
it's after.
I have gross makeout written on that part. But yeah.
Basically, I skipped from the hospital to finding out that Ben is gonna, like, for work, Ben is gonna have to go to Ireland for 6 months.
Okay, well, there's also a section there where she gets stuck in a dress.
That's after.
Right. Yes.
The dress happens.
I have he actually leaving. That's where my notes, how my notes skip.
Like, we get like, yeah,
so we get love is dirty, baby. Like, it's downright filthy. Like, if you like her, you need to do something about it, essentially. Because Alan is like, it's not right to do it the way you're doing it. Like, like, I think he says you have four options.
That's later.
That's later? Okay.
I don't remember
exactly when this happens. But yeah, he's telling him, like, you need to tell her. You need to tell her. And he's like, well, but it's all messy and dirty right now because she's got a boyfriend. Love is dirty, baby. Nicole had a boyfriend when we got together. And
yeah.
So you find that bombshell out.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, you find out later he was not a great guy, but...
Yeah. Well, we have, like I said, Ben's going to have to go to Ireland for 6 months for work. I don't remember exactly where this happens, but there's Ben leaving, and he gives Chantry an open-ended ticket.
Yeah, that's after the dress, but yeah.
I thought that was before.
No, he tells her he's leaving... And then she ends up shopping for the dress.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're fine.
What happens with the...
Because when he tells her he's leaving, it's really cute. They're, like, at a farmer's market. And they're having, like, a good day out together. And then... And she says something. Right. And then he's like, yeah, I don't really know how to tell you this. So I kind of just need to do it, don't I? And so he tells her that they want to send him to Dublin for at least 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Dublin will be the base. He'll be traveling all over Europe.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
But then I have, like, after that whole exchange, we have, it's Chantry and Wallace, they're basically just, like, they're hanging out together, and, like,
they're walking down the street.
Yeah, they're walking down the street, and, like, it's raining, and so they're sharing an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, because it's a whole, like, very subtle little thing of they're sharing this umbrella, and they're basically standing as far apart as you can get and still share an umbrella. Like, there's a good, like, you know, like, yeah, 18 inches of space between them. Like, they are standing far apart under this umbrella. And there's a guy who's also, like, at this crosswalk who's just being, like, a little odd. Or, like, I can't remember what the guy's doing, but he's just being one of those people that you're like, I'm just going to step over here. And so just, like, they're both kind of, like, shooting glances at this guy. And then Chantry just, like, very subtly just, like, steps closer to Wallace. And it's a visual thing of suddenly, like, you're seeing the two of them standing there together. And now they have this closeness. And it's something, like, you know, we've seen them standing there together, like, at the refrigerator, like, at the party, yeah, and everything. But there's just something about this simple act of, like, her getting closer to him. That there's just something about it that it stood out to me of, like, as, like, an important visual note.
That's cool.
But then, you know, they go into a shop.
Because she needs to find a dress for a party for work.
Yes.
And so they go in, and she asks him if it's too slutty, and he goes, nothing's too slutty for you. I was like, oh, sweetie. But so she's, and the shop.
There's a dress on a mannequin.
Yeah, she's like, I want that one. It's like, the lady's like, well, are you a size two?
Yeah, we only have a size two. Are you a size two? He's like, yes, I'm a size two.
And she's not. I mean, she probably is. But because she's wet and everything, it doesn't fit right.
Yeah.
She can't get it zipped. So she's trying to take it off without completely unzipping it. And she gets stuck. And this is just another really comic moment at first.
Yes.
And so she asks Wallace, like, come in here with your eyes closed. Crawl under the door and help me.
Like, I did love it because, like, he's crawling on the floor. He hits his head on the door because his eyes are, and she's like, oh my God, what was that? Because she's completely blind. She can't see anything that's going on. He's like, I hit my head on the bloody door because my bloody eyes are glowing. Like, he's just so frustrated.
And so he opens his eyes once he's in there because he's like, I can't untangle her if I can't see.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's when he sees her tattoo for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But he helps her get untangled. And then as he's about to uncover her eyes, he closes his.
Yes.
But he had a moment where he almost kissed her.
Yes.
And then his eyes are closed and she almost kisses him.
They both do a lean in.
Yeah. They both do an almost like a, it's a very intimate moment. Like it goes from comedy to intimacy very quickly.
And like, but still subtly. It's like,
yeah,
like you don't get whiplash or anything from it.
No. It's completely believable.
Like
the way it works.
I will say this, for as much as this movie, like as much as it has those sort of, the only way I can think to describe it is, like, these very big, kind of, like, overt moments where, because you have Alan being who he is.
Yeah.
That Alan is a very, like, boisterous isn't the word that I want to use, but it's the closest thing I've got.
Yeah.
So he's just that, like, loud, sort of, like, boisterous kind of character. And so the time that you have with him, you don't get a lot of subtlety because he and Nicole are very, and Dahlia to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like they're all very brash characters.
Yeah.
But I love that it's almost like sorry, this just popped into my head and feel free to tell me that I'm full of bullshit. But it all, like, to a certain degree, it almost, like, at certain times it feels like everybody else around them is a hurricane happening and they are the eye of the storm.
That's fair.
When, like, especially when they're together, like there is a, like as much as, like, they're goofy and, like, they have, you know, like the banter sparks and all that, there is a calmness to the two of them when they're together.
Yeah.
And this is one of those moments that it really feels like the calm in the storm.
Yeah.
And it's something that I very much appreciated.
Cause after the dress thing is when we have Alan and the nachos.
That's right.
Because, like, you have this moment where you see, like, this gross making out of Alan and Nicole, and then it pulls back, and there's poor Wallace
just sitting on the other side of the table.
And then she gets up and leaves. She's like, I'll see you later, baby, and, like, leaves. And he leans over to the stove, pulls out the nachos, and goes, I just had sex, and I'm about to have nachos. This is the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
And then Wallace ruins it.
Yes.
And he gets a little pissed for a second. But I just loved that. I just had nachos, or I just had sex, I'm about to have nachos. It's great. Like, that's such a great quote. It's awful. It's so funny.
Oh,
but,
God.
But yeah, like, because that's when, you know, he, once again, Alan is telling him, Just talk to her. But, like, what's the worst that can happen?
The advice, like, from Alan and, like, you know, from Nicole, like, a little bit later on, it's, like, basically everybody is telling Alan to basically, like, crap or get off the pot.
Like, yeah, like, stop mamby-pambying around.
Yeah.
And like, either be her friend or don't. Like, yeah. Like, tell her how you actually feel.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, or stop whining about it. Like, you got...
Yes.
But yeah, so then we have Ben going to Dublin. Yeah,
Ben leaving for Dublin. He gives Chantry, like, the open ticket. And I love what he said.
Actually, that's all I was going to
like, yeah, if you have the quote, go for it.
I don't have the whole thing, but he tells her to come over anytime, even if it's just for a weekend, just for a day, just for a kiss.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was good, Ben.
It was like, that's a good line. I appreciate that, Ben.
But and so then we have, like, kind of a montage of her getting all of these different...
They're kind of having it's a whole montage of some like missed connections.
Yeah, she and Ben just can't keep connecting, and she gets postcards from him and mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But it's just not like it's really hard. Of course, yeah, I mean it always is when you're doing long distance and to do that long distance because they're in Toronto.
Yes,
and Ben is now in Dublin.
It's like he's in Dublin. He's in Dubai. He's in Switzerland. You know, he's in all of these. Going to all of these places.
Yeah.
And sending her postcards from each of them.
But so she's kind of down. And mm-hmm. she runs into Wallace again. Like, just kind of mm-hmm. out. And she basically tells him that she's just not... She's like, I'm not going to be any fun to be around right now.
And this is where... Yeah, they... It's like, they go on, like, the bar crawl and because... Because basically, they just kind of... I think they just basically make the decision to, they're just hanging out.
Well, because she says, basically, like, I wish I had someone to drink with. And he's like, okay, let's go. She's like, really, you'll go with me to drown my sorrows about missing my boyfriend? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So they go to a bar, and then they play ping pong.
Well, yeah,
and then they go dancing.
I love at the bar, like, she's pushing him to, like, hit on this girl. And so, like, he goes, and he does it. And, they're playing playing ping pong, and they're getting like super competitive, and
then she wins and spills her beer everywhere because she's so excited. He goes, thank you for being such a gracious winner.
Oh yeah,
like it's just this great montage of them, like because you have the montage of missed connections followed immediately by this montage of connection.
Yes,
that's such a great like juxtaposition.
Again, like there is so like there's some really great subtlety to this movie, and mm-hmm. like I very much appreciate it. But, you know, while they're hanging out, you know, she's, like, they're doing the thing of, you know, she's just kind of asking, like, getting to know you questions and, mm-hmm. you know, and asks, you know, like, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? You know, so he tells her, you know, the best, or the worst thing that ever happened to me also ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me because, you know, well, you know, Megan, like, cheating on me, like, breaking up, but, you know, like, and it's like, and it was terrible, you know, but now, like, things are great, and, you know, I love where I am, and all that, and that's happening, like, in a cab ride, and then we get, this conversation continues, they're both at home, they're both, like, laying down in bed, and, like, they're talking to each other on the phone,
yeah.
And he asks, he's like, okay, so what's the worst thing that ever happened to you, and, you know, she tells him, like, my mom died
mm-hmm.
when I think she was like 11 or 12.
Like 12 yeah.
yeah, 11 or 12 or something like that. And, you know, it's expensive. You know, she had cancer and all of this. You know, I didn't get the entire thing down, but she tells him, you don't realize how quickly everything can fall apart until it does. And then she says, it makes you never want to give up anything good ever again. I do love like his kind of reaction to it, and then he ends up telling her, and he's like, okay, for the record, like when the question is, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? Maybe don't let me lead when the answer is my mom died of cancer.
Yeah. You should always go first when you ask that question, because if the answer is my mom died of cancer, the other person's going to feel really awful. Because now the worst thing that's ever happened to me is me telling you the story of my shitty love life.
Yeah.
While you have some actual real pain.
Yeah. And you know, but she just tells him, she's like, no, like that's okay. He's like, I really I liked your answer. You know, it was real.
Yeah, ever real conversations and some weird sense of humor. Like, they have such a strange, like, it's such a, you said earlier, quirky sense of humor that they both have. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But then we get the scene with Alan right after this, I think, where Alan is picking out a ring.
In between that
is the
knitting circle that she's having, like, with her sister Dahlia and, like, a couple of girls from work. And And, like, they're literally in a yarn store, and they're sitting in a circle knitting. And so, and one, it's a setup for something that, you know, that happens a couple of times of, you know, Dahlia and her coworkers basically like, okay, like if you're just friends with this guy, then why don't you set him up with you? Like your single desperate friends. Yeah. Or your sister.
Cause Dahlia has Dahlia's like, I got dibs.
Yeah. Dahlia has claimed him by the unholy right of dibs.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're having this, but, you know, they're also talking, like, the scene starts with, you know, with them asking, you know, how things are with Ben. And I love that this line that Chantry has, I mean, she tells him, you know, he's off having all of these new experiences, and I'm in the middle of my same old life, just without my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that line hit really hard for me. Because, like, I, you know, I experienced that whole thing, like, in just a friendship. Like, I can't imagine...
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine going through the exact same thing, but, like, with a significant other. I'm like, that might break me. But it's after that that we cut to... Like,
Alan is in a jewelry store with Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through the different options.
I just kind of condensed it down is that Alan, you know, through the course of this whole conversation that they have, is that Alan gives Wallace his options of, like, the type of person he can be. Is that he can either, like, he can be sleazy, conniving, pathetic, he can be honest, or he can just move on.
Yeah. And the honesty and moving on are the last two that are added much later.
Yes.
And, like, at the end of the conversation, because, like, he does the sleazy thing. Like, I really enjoyed...
It's like, you can be sleazy and try to make a move on her. And, but, you know, it's like, but then if she does that, then she's going to feel really bad for cheating on Ben. It's like, but you get what you want. And it's like, or like, you can be conniving and just like be the person who hangs around.
Yeah,
and
her, like, ear to cry on.
Yeah, be her, you know, be the ear to listen.
Ear to cry on. Where'd that come from?
Like, my brain kind of went,
huh?
Sorry. When you said that.
We've had some D&D stuff today. My brain's a little dead.
It's been a long day for us. But, you know, he says, like, you can be conniving and just be the person who's there for her and let her come around to it on her own, that maybe things aren't great with Ben. And then, hey, you're there. You're an option.
Or you can continue as you are and just be pathetic, essentially.
Yeah, it's like, you continue as you are and be completely pathetic. Yeah. It's like, you know, then the option of you can be honest with her and tell her how you feel. And, like, maybe something comes of it, maybe something doesn't, but at least you've said something.
Yeah.
You know, and then later he tells him, or...
There's a fifth option, you know. Like, I love that. As they're walking out of the jewelry store, like, he's shown Wallace the ring that he got for Nicole.
Yeah.
And it's so Nicole, and it's perfect, and yada, yada. And then he's like, as they're walking away, he goes, there's a fifth option, you know. You could move on. Just move on. And he kind of looks at him like he doesn't even know what to say to that.
Yeah. And from here...
And but the honesty thing is where the being a man...
Gotcha.
Because, when he tells him he could be honest, like, that's option four, I think. He's like, you could, you know, be honest about it and tell her how you feel. And to which Wallace goes, since what does being a man mean you tell someone your feelings? Being a man means you hide your feelings. Which, if you've seen a Harry Potter musical or a Harry Potter sequel, I just went, oh, he learned it from Sirius Black. Because Ron in a Harry Potter musical and then Sirius Black in a Harry Potter sequel, which is an online internet musical that's zany and it's great. You should watch it.
If you have any interest in the Harry Potter franchise at all, like,
if you can deal with parody,
if you,
because some people it's totally you can't touch.
Oh my god!
But
people need to lighten up.
I agree.
Parody is a cornerstone.
Harry Potter musical,
existence.
If you can deal with some not great sound quality, is just, I just rewatched it the other day, so it's so funny. But at one point, they're asking Ron, kind of teasing him, because he's, not teasing, but he and Harry are talking, because Harry's, like, basically telling Ron he should tell Hermione how he feels.
Yeah.
And Ron goes, come on, everybody knows, you never tell a girl you like her, it makes you look like an idiot. And I was just like, that is what Wallace is saying here, is you never tell a girl you like her, because it makes you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Because that is the, like, toxic thing that so many guys feel. Like, I can't tell her I like her. I have to, you know, test her out the waters first.
Like, there are so many times that during this movie, like, I kept thinking of the genie in Aladdin.
Tell her the truth.
Tell her the truth. Like, literally.
Or, you know, be her friend and not try to see her naked.
Yes.
Like, that's my, sorry, I liked that a lot. But yeah, so then
we get the engagement party
that becomes the wedding. Which I loved that whole thing. They're like, yeah, so we'll get our engagement party, Alan and Nicole. And it's like, but you know, we hate weddings and we want to be
like,
married.
We hate long engagements and we hate this and blah, blah, blah.
They don't like weddings either.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, he basically said like, you know, everybody we like is already here. So we're going to get married now. Yep. Wallace, you're my best man. Becky, you're the maid of honor. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is such a cute, like great thing.
It's like, for the record, that, like, if I ever do end up, like, in a situation, like, where I am engaged, like, that is one of the two options that I'm, like, what's behind door number one. It's either going to be, I call you and just say, hey, so-and-so and I are going up to the courthouse, get your ass over here. Or it's like, hey, everybody, let's get together. And then bada bing, it's a wedding.
Which is, that's fair. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
That will be me.
But yeah, so you have, I love them. And like, so they're all getting ready for the wedding now. Like the four people who are involved in the wedding. And at one point you have Wallace showing up at Nicole's door, like knocking on it.
Yeah, because Alan sends
Wallace to check on her. Or something.
Like basically, he wants Wallace to go nudge Nicole because like he wants to get this show on the road. Yeah,
but her maid of honor is the worst. Like she is all about herself and she's not really taking care of the bride because the bride needs someone to keep her calm. And
yeah,
I had about 10 people in the room with me and I probably needed all 10. But.
You had a
good time, though.
It's like you had a deep roster of people.
I did. It's fair. Well, because people came off the bench as the day went by. Like
exactly.
But yeah, so Nicole. Nicole tells him when he comes in, she's like, as best man, it's your job to keep me calm. So I don't crawl out the window and bang a sailor.
Yeah. And he's like, where did you find a sailor?
It's like, we're at a dock.
Like, pier, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. But then, and that's when she actually has like the heart to heart with him again of, you know, it didn't start great between Alan and I. Like we didn't start the way we should have,
mm-hmm.
but I love him. It didn't matter because I loved him. And so it didn't matter how it started. We're getting married. Mm-hmm. Like we are making a commitment to each other. And it's because we were honest. And he's just like, okay.
Yeah. And she's having this whole exchange with him. And like,
married means you believe in the best case scenarios.
Yes.
Which that was another great line that Nicole said to him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's like, she said, what's the worst that can happen? And he goes, she hates me, never speaks to me again kind of thing. And she goes, what's the best thing that can happen? She's like, I'm leaving Ben and loving you forever, whatever. And she's like, I'm getting married cause I believe in best case scenarios.
Yeah.
So in other words, get your butt in gear.
Yeah.
Which was great. Like, I just liked that whole, because that's one of the best Nicole scenes in the movie.
Absolutely.
And then her maid of honor gives the worst speech. Once again, is all about her maid of honor and not about the bride.
The maid of honor, like she's talking about like I can't remember, like they were in like some like Eastern European country and like gambling and how like they were like held at ransom and like it's the weirdest bullshit.
Yeah, and that's how Nicole taught me to da 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 da. And then so it's Wallace and everybody kind of you know half heartedly claps and you can see that Alan is over it. Alan's just like, oh my gosh. But so you get Wallace's best man.
Wallace
speech.
Saves the day.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the entire speech down, but I have, like, you know, Wallace is giving his speech and he says, I remember the night that Alan and Nicole met and that instant connection. If you're lucky, it happens once in a lifetime. And if you're unlucky, then you have to come to weddings and listen to people like me talk about it and assume that we're all hopeless romantics. It's very easy to be cynical about love, but tonight, this is hard.
Yeah, because this is, and he kind of uses the best case scenario thing again. I don't think he says that, but it's implied that they're, you know, believing in the best or whatever. And so, to the bride and groom, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And I love the moment when they're dancing.
It's also during the speech that he says something about it. It's like, and very shortly, like, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, and sooner or later, I'm sure they will procreate, like, and the apocalypse will begin.
Because he goes, they basically, the two of them get together proves there's someone for everyone.
Yes.
Because, wow. And eventually they'll procreate and the apocalypse will begin. But, which is such a great, like, which, it's like, so funny. Dahlia is like seeing Wallace in a whole new light tonight, even more so. So, like, he's dancing, they're all dancing and, like, Alan and Nicole are all over each other, which it's their wedding. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're Alan and Nicole. They have no shame. God. So it's fine. But Chantry and Wallace are dancing together, and Dahlia literally pushes herself in between them.
Yep.
Dahlia ain't shy.
And Chantry is visibly not okay with this. Like,
she's really not.
Like, could you mention the two times Dahlia has brought up? Every time Chantry is visibly not okay, yes, with the idea of her sister and Wallace. And part of the reason she says is because Wallace is fragile. Like, he doesn't need, yes, your craziness in his life. But I think we both know that is not the only reason she is jealous.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to share Wallace. No. Wallace is hers.
And it's, yeah. Like, I absolutely 100% get that.
And so yeah, Chantry is a little bit jealous, but Dahlia takes them home, drops Chantry off first, and he goes, well, you know, I just live down the block.
It's like, she's hard. Like, oh, no. Like, I provide door-to-door
service. And he's like, oh, okay, kind of grins.
Chantry is such a slag.
And Chantry
gets out. Dahlia. Yeah.
But Chantry gets out of the car, and she just kind of watches them go with this, like, wistful look on her face.
Yeah.
And then we get to the actual moment when Dahlia makes her move.
Yeah.
And,
like, she's very sort of, like, she's trying to play, like, this sort of, like,
hard to get.
Yeah, like, she's trying to play hard to get, and Wallace is like, I don't understand what's happening here. And then she basically just, like, pounces on him.
And he's like, this is not a good idea.
Like, and kisses.
And then he kisses back because it's been a while.
Right, and, yeah, like, she makes a move, like, she kisses him, and, like, and he starts kissing back. But then we have this whole thing of, like, suddenly, like, Chantry's there at the window, and yeah, she's telling him, like, basically, like you're sleeping with my sister. Like, you think that I would ever be okay with this? You can basically kiss any chance you have with me goodbye. And, you know, and he's just imagining this whole thing, because, like, she explodes and stuff like that. And so, you know, he said he's imagining this whole scenario, yeah, and then, like, he pushes Dahlia off and tells her, like, you know, this, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not up for this.
This is a bad idea. Like,
this is a bad idea.
Do this.
And so that's...
Nicole gets, like, all hurt.
Dahlia,
I mean.
Dahlia gets hurt. And, like, Dahlia, like, literally pushes him out of the car.
Yeah, Dahlia's like, fine, get out. Just go away then.
Yeah,
go away
get
then.
Out.
I don't just throw myself at anybody. I thought you were different.
Well, honey.
It's not his fault that he's just not that into you, girl.
Yeah.
Like, you've had your chance. Come on. But, yeah, so then we go to Chantry, and she drunk dials.
She calls Ben. And she's talking about you, like, you know, oh, I have this, I have this dress. Like, just
hear that noise? That's the zipper. And
yeah. Like, she holds the phone up as she's unzipping the dress.
Yeah.
And she's talking about, like, you know, the really great, like, bra and panties that she have. And, like, did I tell you that they match? And, you know, like, she's completely off her face.
And
he's
like, that sounds very interesting. I would be interested in pursuing that at a later moment.
And then it cuts to him, and he is in the middle of a UN conference. And, like, there's just an entire table of people from all around the world just staring at him.
And so he hangs up, sorry about that.
Yeah,
back to work. It was really funny. But yeah. So then
Chantry's offered a promotion, yeah, at work. And
because we find out, like, she's been offered promotions multiple times at this job.
And she's turned it down because she would much rather be an animator, because she doesn't feel like she's up to the task, and she doesn't think she would be happy being a project manager.
Yeah.
But her boss tells her straight up, you know, like, you know, we sent, I think their name was Josh or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But, you know, it's like, we sent so-and-so, like, you know, to Taiwan, like, to do this job, and he is, like, an absolute nightmare. Like, all he's doing is, like, sleeping with people. He's not actually doing the job.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and the boss says, like, I want to promote you to this, and Chantry kind of hedges on it, and the boss tells her, you know, like, look, you would be going to Taiwan, like, you'd have a car and an apartment and, like, language lessons and all of this, and, like, and you could do it. It's like, but make no mistake, like, this is the last time. I am not ever, like, I will not offer you a promotion like this again. And so, and she's like, you have until the end of the month to decide.
Yeah, so Chantry is thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then we go to the beach with,
yep,
Alan and Nicole and Chantry and Wallace, mm-hmm, sitting around a campfire on the beach, doing this really cute bit about
Cool Whip, the
Cool Whip and the different names for Cool Whip.
Yeah.
And how they came up with the name for Cool Whip. Like, this is, it's really funny. Like,
yeah.
They're coming up with alternate names.
She says something, you know, like, I read something on the internet the other day that said, you know, when they were trying to come up with Cool Whip, like, you know, there was X amount of people, like, and, you know, they tried and, like, and came up with, like, 10,000 different suggestions. and, you know, for like what to name the product. And Wallace is like, and basically none of them were as great as Cool Whip. And she's like, yeah, it's true. Like, and they suggest, you know, try, like, you know, for yourself, like try to come up with 10 of them. And like, before she can really even get the sentence out, like Wallace and Alan and Nicole are immediately like,
this is a game.
Yeah. It? It's a game. And like, they're having fun. And like, you know, they come up with some hilarious stuff and I didn't get any.
Of I didn't either, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
And then, and Nicole and Alan are Nicole and Alan.
Yes.
And they decide to go skinny dipping.
Yes.
So they strip off and run down the beach and leaves Chantry and Wallace kind of just looking at each other. And then all of a sudden Chantry's like, no, let's go skinny dipping too.
Yeah, like, let's go swimming.
Like, she's trying to get out of this awkward moment by making a much more awkward moment, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So they strip off and she's like, I'll look if you look.
Well, yeah, like, they go, like, they're in the
water. I guess they get in the water first.
Yeah, like, they get in the water, and
he finally comments on her tattoo, because he finally can.
He comments on her tattoo, and he says, you know, it's your mom, isn't it? You know, and she agrees, and you know, they're just kind of having a moment in the ocean, and then she's like, oh, fuck, something touched me.
Something touched my leg.
Something touched my leg. And it's like they're scrambling out of the water.
Yeah.
And so you have them, like, getting out of the water, and, like, you know, they're each, like, you know, trying to cover themselves as best they can.
Yeah.
And they're standing there at the edge of the water, and they're both kind of, like, looking, like, they're looking up, like, skyward, so they don't inadvertently.
Yeah, no awkward glances.
Yeah, no awkward glances. And then Chantry just, you know, Chantry turns to him and says, you know, I'll look if you look.
And
so they do. Happens. Yeah, so it does. And then that's when they realize their clothes are gone.
And the Jeep is gone because Alan and Nicole stole their clothes and left a sleeping bag for them. Yep,
that's it.
And that is not cool. Like, and they bring that up later, and Alan and Nicole get it for it.
Well, because it sets off this whole thing of, like, of Chantry and Wallace, like legitimately having a fight.
Yeah. Because, she's huddled under the sleeping bag. He has got a branch over his nethers, and that's it.
Yeah.
And she calls him an asshole.
Because he's like, why? Like, he's, I'm not he's an laughing. Asshole. Yeah.
He laughs because she says something, and he thought she was trying to lighten up the mood.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you're not taking this seriously. You're an asshole. He goes, no. They're assholes because they did this.
Yeah.
You're kind of an asshole because you're sitting in that thing while I am sitting here dying, basically.
Yeah, and then she's just like, okay, fine, we'll share. Like, and they're, you know, they end up sharing this sleeping bag, and like, but like, they're not talking. Like, everything is so
awkward. Yeah,
everything is so tense now, and so they end up sharing the sleeping bag overnight, and he wakes up. It's sort of that gray kind of pre-dawn light, and he wakes up, and you know, and then he wakes her up, and he says, our clothes are back.
They brought our clothes back.
Yeah, they brought our
clothes. So they get up, they get dressed, and you see Nicole and Alan waiting, and Nicole sitting on the top of their Jeep, and he's like, babe, I'll never doubt you again. You're so right. I should always listen to you. And then they get told by both their friends that they are ginormous assholes because I wrote down in my notes, misguided matchmaking attempt, because you went too far. Like,
yes.
I get what you were doing. I understand that. No. Like, you don't know your friends at all if you thought this would work.
Yeah, it's...
I think they thought it would finally push Wallace over to where he could talk, but it didn't.
No. Like,
that's not how they work. That they're not those kind of people.
No. Like,
all it does is wind up driving Chantry to use her ticket to go to Dublin.
It's, and like, I've tried, like, nothing that extreme, but I was, like, there was a similar situation of like, there was a person, like, this was in college, there was a person that, like, I kind of had a crush on. You know, like, and we were, you know, we were decent friends, and we would, you know, we hung out a lot, and then, like, we're at, like, it was a Valentine's Day dance, and so, like, there's a song that comes on. It was Eric Clapton, when I was, like, I made the comment of, like, oh my god, I love this, it's one of my favorite songs, and a mutual friend just looks at this guy and goes, hey, did you hear that? It's her favorite song. You should do something. And he's like, what, and like, they basically, and like, we got shoved onto the dance floor together. And I'm just like, it was awful. And so just, like I said, nothing that extreme, but in that certain situation,
yeah.
I'm like, I hate everyone in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that it's just, it's too far.
Yeah.
You take a joke like that too far. You can't force someone, or you can, but you shouldn't force people into that situation. Like, it's not fair to anybody.
And
it's funny on TV, but it's not funny if it happens in real life. Like, it's just not.
Yeah, it's really not.
I mean, there are certain people you could lock in a closet to get them together, because I've seen those people. But locking them in a closet is different than locking someone or leaving someone naked on a beach. Right. Like, that's just... You could that because no.
This is the thing is like if you're going to like if you're going to play Yenta and like you're going to nudge somebody like you're going to nudge people into these certain situations, you have to leave an opening for them to have an out.
Yeah.
And like in this situation, like nothing happened. Like they sat and they stewed all night and like it just made them angrier.
Yeah.
And so nothing was going to happen because they didn't have an out. They were only like when you back people into a corner, they're not going to do the thing you think they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, so that makes Chantry, like I said, she decides she's going to Dublin. Like,
yeah.
She is not staying in town. She's packing a bag and leaving.
She grabs an open-ended ticket. She goes to Dublin. She gets there, and Ben isn't home. And so she's sitting on the stoop, just waiting for him.
I thought this was going to be where the shoe dropped, and we were going to find out Ben was a jerk.
I thought so, too, because he and a woman are, like, very, like, drunkenly, like, swaggering up to the flat. And this is also, like, something we didn't mention is, like, during the whole montage of, like, their misconnections and stuff, you find out, or maybe it's in this, I don't remember.
It's in this,
like, where, you know, basically all of the people, you know, who go to,
oh,
like,
it is the connections.
Yeah, it's that basically, you know, like, the people that he works for, like, the UN, like, they basically have all of the people who do, like, you know, similar jobs to him, they've put them all in, like, the same apartment building.
Yeah.
And so
it's like, a giant fraternity at that
point. Yeah, it's like, we're all basically living together, but not quite. And so you see him swearing up with this woman who, like, this is what I mentioned to you off mic, is, like, one of my favorite people is in this movie, and, like, she has the tiniest little bit part, and it makes me sad, because the actress who's playing, like, the drunken woman is Una Chaplin. And some people would know her. She's on Game of Thrones. I cannot remember the character she played. But then again, at this point, I think virtually everybody in Britain has been on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But some people would also know her from an early season of Sherlock. She's the girlfriend at the Christmas party who storms out at John.
Okay. She is. That's true.
Yeah. But I absolutely love and adore her. She is one of my lady crushes. I love her so much. And I just recently rewatched the BBC show The Hour, and she plays Dominic West's wife in that.
Oh.
And she is incredible, and I love her, and I'll not have a word said against her. But in this, she's a little bit of, like, a Latin seductress kind of thing. Like, she's from, like, Argentina or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But she's using a Spanish accent.
Yes. She's Argentinian, I believe.
Yeah. And so, like, the pratfall made me laugh because, like, they're walking up and then all of a sudden, like, Ben sees Chantry and just, like, fucking lets this woman just drop.
He's like, no, not what it looks like.
Like, not what it looks like, I swear. Like, it made me think, like, this is a running joke from college, hand check.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, so she quickly helps to reassure.
He's like, oh,
Chantry,
nothing
was going on.
Nothing was going on.
They had some drinks. She had a little too much. So he was helping her home.
Yes.
They live in the same building. Like, she even comes to the apartment with them and smooths everything over.
Yes.
Makes it pretty clear that that's not what's going on. But then we get kind of like a bunch of her in Dublin with him.
Yes. The really, like, important thing about her being in Dublin is that she sits down and she takes out a notepad and she writes a list.
Yes.
And the list is divided into three sections. It's divided into Dublin and Taiwan and Toronto. And so she's basically writing a prose list for each of these places. In Dublin, she would have new experiences. She'd have Ben and she has, like, learned Gaelic? ? For Taiwan, prose would be her career, the travel that she'd have, the new experiences, and learning Mandarin? ? For Toronto, the prose, my job, my family, my friends, my life, Wallace. So, like, it's very quick. Like, I had to get onto the trivia to find out, like, what did she write down?
Well, and then the other thing with Ben is that he takes her, like, a lot of his, like, stuff, and she just doesn't really fit in. Like,
yeah,
she does, like, the Cool Whip joke, and she has to explain what Cool Whip is, and it just
and the other people, like, aren't getting it.
Like, Although I will say the guy,
I've got completely blank on his name.
I know the guy. That's what makes me upset. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, he was on Supernatural. Was it Nick?
No, he's Adam Fergus. No,
Adam Fergus. Yeah,
he's
the actor's name, but I can't remember.
But he plays the head of one of the men of letters that comes
on
to America.
Supernatural. The last
and
few
he's
seasons.
Like, I really enjoyed him in Supernatural. So I was like, yay! Only he's doing this weird accent now, and I don't know how I feel about it.
You get he and Una Chaplin's character
are supposed to be
that they're basically like, you know, that they're on like the same team essentially. Yeah.
But that just doesn't go well. And then she asks him at some point in this section, like, why didn't you ask me to come with you?
Well, no, it's this. She says that after, because Una's character mentions something, you know, like that, like it. Una's character spills the beans and says
in the Cool Whip scene.
in the Cool Whip scene, and says that, you know, like, lets it slip that Ben has been invited on to stay for another 6 months, and like, you know, with this whole program that they're doing, and not just that. And so Chantry just like storms out, and you know, Ben goes after, and they're having this whole exchange of, she's like, how, like, did you not tell me that?
Yeah.
And you know, and he's, you know, and at some point he had been telling her, he's like, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not just this place that I fall in love with, like, you know, it's the people and it's all these things, like, I really feel like I fit in here. And that's when, you know, she says, you know, well, why didn't you ask me to come with you? And he's, you know, and he replies like, well, why did you never offer to come? And so like, he tries to be placating.
He's like, you can do animation here in Dublin. I mean,
there's an animation company here that you could work for. And that's when she tells him, it's like, I've been given a promotion. Like, you know, they want me to go to Taiwan. And he's like, oh, well, we could meet in the middle. Like, and she's like, what, like Toronto? And you're like, no, we could meet like in Dubai, or, you know, like in, you know, the United Arab Emirates, and, you know, like these places here. It's like, you know, it could be great. It's like, you know, like what, like, just imagine like the story that like we would have to tell our children later, you know, like how we made things work. He's like, don't you want to make this work? Because that's something that during that conversation that she had with Wallace, you know, when she said, you know, once you, you know, it makes you want to never let go of anything good ever again. You know, she says like when she's been in relationships, like she always tries to make it work.
Cause she asked if he was the dumper or the dumpy. And he says, he's typically the dumper.
Yeah. He says, but it's not like I've never been dumped.
Yeah. And where she says she's never dumped anyone. Yeah. She's always been the dumpy.
Yeah.
And so, she
always tries to make it work.
So that moment of him saying, don't you want to make this work? And we flash away from it. Like, it cuts off. We don't see her response.
Because it goes back to Toronto.
To Wallace, yeah.
To Wallace. And, like, I think it's, like, is he finally just, like, getting up the nerve to finally go and, like, talk to her?
He hasn't talked to her in ages, so he wants to go see her.
That's right. He hasn't talked to her in ages, and so he goes by the flat. And Dahlia's there. And that's when, like, Dahlia tells him, is like, oh, you know, I was just here to feed the cat. But, you know, like, I jogged over. You know, so I was going to take a shower and all that. And he's like, okay, well, why are you feeding the cat? And he's like, well, because somebody has to feed the cat. Like, okay, but why are you feeding the cat and not Chantry? She goes, oh, because she went to Dublin. And that's
where, when Dahlia figures out that he's in love with, that Wallace is in love with her sister.
Yeah.
And Dahlia gives him some hard facts.
Dahlia lays it down to her, and Dahlia tells him, like, you know, like she and Ben, you know, basically, it's like, you know, Chantry and Ben, like, they have something good. It's like, you know, they're going to get married, and you're just going to be this guy that she was friends with for a couple of months. Do whatever you need to do to get over it, because it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so Wallace flies to Dublin.
You.
And when he gets there, Chantry's already gone.
Yeah. Well, because, like, I loved it. Because, like, he shows up, and, you know, Ben opens the door, and Ben, you know, Ben says, she's not here. And or she's already gone or something. I can't remember how he phrases it. But then Wallace just goes, is she coming back? And then Ben fucking decks him.
Yeah, he lays him out.
Yeah.
So then Wallace checks his phone. And Chantry has asked him to meet her at the diner they like.
Yeah, at the diner.
Next day. So he, like, hauls and goes back to the airport.
Runs right back to the airport.
Literally flies back into town in time to meet her.
Yes, just in time to meet her.
Because he's still got the same backpack in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked him what happened to his face, and he's like, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But then she finally gets him to be...
because, like, she can't focus on what she's saying, because, like, she's like, your face just looks horrible. Like, what happened? And you're like,
So he tells her.
So he tells her, like, I was Dublin, and the change that happens.
Because she all of a sudden realizes that...
She says, like, you could have been honest with me anytime.
Yep.
You flew to Dublin to break up me and Ben.
And that's been the whole thing, is that she didn't want that to happen. Like, that's... She's like, you had all the opportunities in the world. The only reason you flew to Dublin was to break us up. Like, that's...
Yeah, and I... Because, like, she just goes off on it. Mm-hmm. And I lied
to her from the moment they met.
Right. I have some of that down. You know, she says... it's like, I trusted you. I trusted we were what we said we were, friends. But you can't be friends with someone if you're just skulking around waiting for some opportunity to screw them. And he kind of tries to cover it. He's like, okay, like, I like you a little more romantically than I let on.
Is that a crime?
That's like,
I didn't do anything wrong. But the going to Dublin, like, in the moment, like, he was going to do it, I was like, oh, this is a sweet moment. And then the way she poses the stuff later, I'm like, nah, that's true. He was totally selfish about it. Like, he could have waited
till she came home. He absolutely could have waited.
He should have waited.
Yes.
And the one time Wallace takes initiative, it's the wrong time.
Oh, yeah. And and this is one of those moments where suddenly, you know, like what I was mentioning before, this sort of like eye of the storm that they have, now they're in the storm.
Yeah.
And like now... You know, now, like, it's turbulent for them too.
Yeah.
And he's trying to placate her, and he's trying to tell her, he's like, look, you know, it's not as big a deal as you're making it out to be. And she's like, no, like, I trusted you and you lied to me.
That's the really upsetting part for her, is that he lied.
The
whole time has not been telling the truth about what he wanted from her. And that is so upsetting to her.
And I can't remember what it is that she says, but she just kind of like, you know, lays it out and tells him, he says, like, well, we can talk about this later. And she's like, well, no, like, I'm not going to be here. And he goes, oh, are you going back to Dublin? She goes, no, Taiwan, probably for a year.
If,
and then, like, she, like, and she just, she leaves. And I have to, like, give credit or, like, just, like, commend Daniel Radcliffe, because the work he did in, like, Harry Potter is great. And I will admit, I haven't seen a ton of his work in other things that he's done since then. Cause it's just a lot of times like, what was it? Like I Frankenstein or like,
it was a Frankenstein movie.
Yeah. It was a Frankenstein movie.
The Swiss Army Man. And
like, I had no interest in that. Yeah. It's just, you know, just some of these things that he's done. I just haven't, like, now I would go see him on Broadway, but you know, like I would go see him on stage. But just the opportunity's never arisen. But there's, and like, the, what is it, like, The Young Doctor's Notebook or something like that?
With him
and John Hamm.
I haven't watched it, but yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, for whatever, like, it's on my list, I just haven't gotten around to watching it, because it hasn't been until recently that I've actually started to become a fan of John Hamm, so.
John Hamm. I love how you say it, like, Gallivant.
I know, I can't help it, it's like, John Hamm.
But,
But I think, like, this happens with... like, with fantasy and, like, sci-fi type movies, is that there isn't a lot of room for subtlety, isn't the word that I want to use, but there's not a lot of...
You can't take a breath, usually, and take that moment.
It's like, there's very few moments in Harry Potter, like, where we get what we get in this scene, which is when Chantry leaves, and, like, it cuts, like, it... we get, like, a close-up on Wallace. The look on his face, like, when she tells him that she is leaving, it broke me, dude. Like, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was just that moment of, like, man, he grown up good. Like, because, again, it's something, like, we're getting a little bit more of it now. But, you know, with Harry Potter, like, and this is something that I told you, like, with the books. I mentioned this off mic a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because I'm rereading the books right now.
Yes, you're rereading the books. And we were talking about it, and I meant, or no, because it was further back than that, because I was talking about J.K. Rowling and her mystery books that she writes under the pen name Robert Galbraith. And I was talking about just how much I love those books. Like, they're not great. They really aren't. But there's something about them that I appreciate because they are in a real world setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I can, like, I stop and, like, I appreciate her writing so much more. And, like, the descriptions and, like, and everything that she gives for this real-world setting. Because my problem, like, that I had with reading Harry Potter, and it's a problem that I have when I read, like, any fantasy literature, is that I get too caught up in the details of the world-building and, like, the things that are happening. And so like, I don't necessarily absorb all of the details of, like, what is happening. And it's the same thing with fantasy movies that, like, sometimes mm-hmm. happen to me. And so, like, with Harry Potter, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, like, there are characters moving around, but, like, I'm also, like, trying to focus on, like, okay, if they're moving, like, they're doing this in this scene, like, what are the magical repercussions of this? And, like, yeah. I just get caught up in those details to where I'm not necessarily paying attention to the emotion that's happening.
Yeah.
And with Harry Potter, like, they, you know, they're not, like, there's not a whole lot of emotion happening. It's like they're reacting to to things. Mm-hmm. And so that's why... like, with, like, this moment, and also, like, later at the very end of the movie, like, I felt mm-hmm. the same way, too. Like, there was just something, like, so natural and so human about the look on his face that I, like I said, I just went, like, oh, my God. Like, it hit me hard, and I appreciated it so much. Because, like I said, there's this movie, what it does, like, it does subtlety very well. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a half a second of a look, and it said so much.
See, for me, I can see the visible, like, growing he's done as an actor since yeah. the Harry Potter movies have ended. Because I don't completely agree with you. I think there's a lot of emotion in certain parts of Harry Potter, but...
I will admit, I have not watched them in a long time, so, like, I'm just, like, yeah. remembering
memories. But, and certain moments are very well done, and he does a great job, and, I mean, you have, you know, Alan Rickman in some of the most emotional moments, and how can... Alan Rickman's amazing, so whatever. But yeah, like, I see such a maturity in him, and such a he's... Especially in, like, a contemporary movie where he has the time to really get into the character's emotions in yeah. a way that... I mean, number one, as a child actor, because they made 10 movies, or they made 8 movies in 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's an obscene thing when you really think about it. It's just obscene.
Yeah.
And so, like, he didn't have... He was in Harry, but he was a child when he started. It wasn't until the end that
he really could hit the points.
Yeah.
As much as, like, Harry Potter is in some respects, like, as much as it is, like fantasy novels, and, like, well, I'll put this way, fantasy movies...
Yeah.
Since that's more what I'm talking about right now.
Yes.
As much as they are fantasy movies, in some respects, they are also fantasy action movies.
Yes. I will agree with
that. And so, you know, so, like, it's hard to, like, you know, have emotional nuance when you're being chased by a dragon.
Yeah.
Well, and so. And
I was just saying that, like, yeah. I see it's, such it's
what
a. I,
yeah, that's more of what
yeah. I mean. But I just see, like, I do see, like, between movie 7 and 8 and mm-hmm. this, which was only 3 or 4 years difference, because it came out in 2013. I think the last movie was 2010.
Possibly that sounds
10 movies in or 8 movies in 10 years, and I think the first one came out in 2000, so
yeah,
2001, yeah, somewhere yeah. around there.
That sounds right, because I the way that I remember this is that Two Towers came out in 2001. It was in the movie theater in 2001 because I was a junior. My dad came and picked me up from school, and we had, because it was finals, we only had a half day. Dad came and picked me up. We were going to 2001, we were going to Jonesboro to go see the Two Towers. We were sitting, like, we got there before the movie theater opened. We're sitting there, and, like, Dad notices that there's a poster for the Chamber of Secrets, and he's like, "Hey, we'll go see that instead." And I was like, "Shut your goddamn mouth!" We came
2002, I think.
2001, 2002, something like that.
It doesn't really matter.
But yeah, but it was, like, right in there, because it was before I graduated high school.
Yeah.
And so, Dad trying to sell me on the Chamber of Secrets. I was like, this is the Two Towers. What are you talking about? that sounds about right.
But yeah, so I mean, so he's had, like, 3 or 4 years to hone, and not that he didn't hone it at all through the series, because I think he did, but this movie has such a, like... Because, I mean, you watched, what is the name of that movie? It's the horror movie I can't watch. The Woman in Black?
Yeah, The Woman in Black.
And that was previously to this, I
will. Yeah, because I went to see that with my mom and my aunt. Which I don't know why my aunt came along, because, like, she's never been a horror movie person.
Yeah.
And, like, we went to, like, a late night showing of it and everything, yeah. too. And I told my mom, I was very impressed with him in that movie. Like, but it... took a while.
Yeah, because he's playing like a grown man with a child, which is just strange for those of us who watched Harry Potter.
And I had problems with it because I had... It's more like I read the book in college.
Yeah.
And so they change it because in... spoilers for The Woman in Black. In the book, Arthur doesn't have a child until the very end of the book. And so in the movie, what they did is, like, they gave him a child, and, like, his wife had died, and so there's a whole thing, like, he has an emotional disconnect from his son because he's grieving the death of his wife. Yeah. It's like, and then at the end, like, he does a thing and, like, tries to save his son.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so, like, there was a little bit of a disconnect, and it wasn't, it's like, I didn't, at the very beginning of the movie, I don't buy him as, like, a man with a child, but there's a moment, because the whole thing, like, with Woman in Black is that it's a, you know, it's a town, like, where children die, mm-hmm. because that, like, the Woman in Black takes children.
Yep.
And so there's a moment he goes to a local constabulary, and, like, he's trying to get some information on something, and he goes to the local constabulary, and, like, this, like, group of kids runs in. And, you know, there's, like, one of these girls is, like, she's been hurt. And, like, it's, like, I think, like, she swallowed something, like, caustic. And so she's, she's basically, like, about to start coughing up blood. And, like, the constable has, like, just left the room. And so the kids, like, go, like, they are, like, chasing after him, like, trying to get help. And, like, this little girl just, like, collapses, and he catches her. And, like, and he's just kind of holding her there on the floor. And he's like, oh, you'll be all right, darling. And it was, like, in that moment that I'm like, okay, now I buy it. Because, like, it's a moment of subtlety. Yeah.
And he, like I was saying, like, because you have that movie that happened before this one. And stuff like that. Like, he's definitely built up to where... Yeah. Like, I no longer see him as Harry Potter when I see him and stuff. I really don't. Yeah,
like,
My thing was, like, he had that movie to mature him, and he had, like, several other movies, or several other roles that for me, at least, really, you can see how he has tuned his acting instrument, if you will. Like, there's just something about it. Like, he does such a great job in this, and, like I said, this is his first contemporary movie.
Yeah.
And he still, like, is able to really dig into the character in a way he probably couldn't any other movie,
mm-hmm.
because this is a contemporary guy that he can identify with in a way he couldn't identify with any other character.
I was like, oh, and he also did, like, it was much later, but he also did Horns. I almost forgotten about that. He's so good in Horns.
Well, I think he's a great actor. Yeah. But yeah, my thing with that moment, like you're talking about with the look, like, he's very excellent at those kind of things. And yeah, like he's, I think he's definitely grown as an actor. Like, it's so strange to see a kid that, because when 2001, when that came out, I would have been 14, 15,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And so it's very weird to, like, have watched this, like, kid grow up.
I was just turning 17.
Yeah, so I'd have been about 15. But yeah, like, to watch this kid grow up and to become this really good actor. I mean, there are other people that I have done that with that I am a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very strange.
Yeah.
Like, Ashley Johnson, for example. I watched Growing Pains as a kid.
I did too.
And her face hasn't changed in, you know, 20 years, but that's a whole other thing. But I'm just saying, like, watching that, like, him learn how to be more subtle in things, mm-hmm. is so, like, it's weird to say rewarding, but it is in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because we've talked about that with other actors that we're fans of. Like, it's so nice. Just, like, I'm so proud of this person.
Yeah, I was just about to say. It's like there's this tiny little glimmer of pride that you have.
Even though we have nothing to do with anything they are, we are fans of them. And so it's great to see them doing well. And I think that's the way, that's kind of where I come from with some of this movie. But yeah, so then after she leaves, Wallace falls into a funk and a half.
Yes.
And, like, he's a jerk to his nephew. And his sister is giving him what for while eating a sandwich, which is she chokes.
She starts chucking to death.
And he saves her life and immediately decides, you know, I do like helping people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to med school.
Yeah.
So he's having a pint with Alan and Nicole.
Before that, we have Chantry is, she's like, she's cleaning out her refrigerator and it's her and Dahlia. And at this point, you get that, like, she's packing up the apartment because she's going to be going somewhere.
And you know she and Ben broke up in that conversation.
No.
In this conversation, like, the one she has with her sister.
Well, it's basically what it's like, like, they take, like, something out of the fridge, and, like, they're dividing things up into, like, things that she's throwing away and things that Dahlia's gonna take home. And, like, Dahlia takes something out. And Chantry makes a comment. She's like, oh yeah, like that, you know, get rid of that. You're like, that was Ben's. Basically, like, pointing out, like, you know, this salsa, like, it's super old. It's been here forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out. It was Ben's. And Dahlia just kind of makes the point, like, and are we throwing out Ben? you know, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but, you know, she, and, like, they kind of just sit down and, you know, they just start having this conversation and, like, and Chantry, like, she just gets overwhelmed because she's like, you know, what am I doing? This is stupid. And that's when you find, like, well, she's going to Taiwan. She's like, because, like, I'm going there. Like, I'm not going to know anybody. Like, I'm not going to have, you know, family, friends. Like, I'm just going to be totally alone. And that, you know, Chantry tells Dahlia, you know, that, like, you know, tells her about what, you know, having this conversation that she had with Wallace. And Chantry tells her, he's like, I called him a liar. And I think that I might be the liar. Like, because it might count as lying if you're lying to yourself.
And Dahlia just pulls her into a hug.
Yeah.
Because she is bawling by that point.
Yeah.
It's such a great line. Though. Yeah.
It's like that. That's when we find out, like, Wallace is, like, he's having, he's in a bar with Alan and Nicole.
And he goes, and they're telling him that they're going to have a going away party for Nicole.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. And he goes to pour them pints. And Nicole, or not even Nicole, Alan
reaches out and grabs, like, puts his hand on the glass and grabs it back.
And Nicole just kind of rolls her eyes, like, we weren't telling people, but I guess we're telling you.
Yeah.
And Wallace is like, oh, you've got a baby in you? Like,
yeah.
Like, where'd it go? You've got a baby in you? That means the apocalypse has really started. Like, he's hugging.
Right, yeah. They're like the three of them are hugging. God,
that part is so funny to me. Oh, like, God. I don't even know why, but it's just like, the apocalypse has really started now.
Yeah.
So then we're at the going away party. We're watching it happen. And
Chantry
keeps eyeing the door. At one point, Alan comes in and kisses the tummy. It's so cute. I'm a sucker for that. Like, kissing the stomach of a pregnant woman when you're the daddy is adorable. But so that happens. But you see, and we see
we have Chantry, like, eyeing the door, like, you know, several times. Like, she's eyeing the door, and, like, we have, like, three different guys come in, and, like, none of them are Wallace. And we cut to him in the exact same place where we saw him at the beginning of the movie doing the exact same thing. He's sitting on the roof,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his phone out, and he's going through his contacts. He finds Chantry, and he's like, has his finger hovering over, like, delete contact. And then, like, it goes back to the party, and the party has wound down. Like, like, all of the guests have gone home.
It's just her and her four girlfriends.
Yes. It's Chantry and Dahlia and, like, Nicole.
Her two girlfriends. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's somebody else there. I just don't know who. And like, you know, all you have these girls, like, all there kind of on the couch, and they're chatting and, you know, just having fun. And, you know, the door opens and it's Wallace. And he's like, sorry, I'm late.
And they go back to the fridge and they play with the magnet.
Yeah, like
it's very full circle moment, yes, which I love.
It's very full circle.
You and I are suckers for that kind of stuff anyway.
Absolutely.
And so they have this, like, full circle moment where he puts the Love is Stupid Monkeys dancing again.
Yeah.
And
it immediately they're back into their banter.
Yeah. And then he brings her a present.
Hold up. First, no,
so they have some talk first.
Yeah. But, like, well, they're bantering, but, like,
she makes him a.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made him a present first.
Yeah, she's like, here, like, I, you know, like,
I have it both written down.
Yeah, so it's like, I made you something, and she hands him, like, this big thing covered in aluminum foil.
And he opens it, and he goes, is this fool's gold?
Yeah.
And then he goes, he starts laughing, he goes, I brought you a going away present.
And I love that, like, this fucker, like, he literally just, like, plopped it down some wrapping paper and wrapped it. Like, it's not, like, in a container of any kind. Nothing. Like, no aluminum foil. Nothing. He literally just wrapped a goddamn sandwich, and it made me laugh so hard.
But then they kind of, you get the moment where they're, they have their moment of, like, I wish this moment didn't have to end.
And, like, I can't remember. Wallace says, you know, whatever this is between us is good. It's like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, and I don't want it to be over.
And she basically says the same thing. I don't know if you have the whole thing or
I no, like she basically says the same thing.
And then she's like, I wish that we had a time machine so we could go back.
It's like that we could go back, and, you know, she asks, like, you know, if we get time travel, you know, where would you go? And he says, like, I would go back. He's like, I would go back to the night that we met. She's like, oh, and well, what would you do differently? And he's like, nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And they kiss.
Yeah.
Finally their first kiss here at the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and then we cut to
18 months later.
And
she's coming off the plane,
And walking through an airport.
And she's holding her luggage, and there he is with a luggage cart, too. And, oh, hi, I didn't see you there. I didn't see you either. What a coincidence.
I can't remember, like, what she calls him. It's like, what is it she called him? She's like Walt or something like that.
It's like Wallace, actually.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing this whole thing like they haven't seen each other in 18 months. And then she's like, well, you know, I've been traveling with my fiance for the past couple of months. Oh, that's funny. I've been traveling with my fiance for a couple of months. I'm like, oh, you.
Yeah.
You yeah. jerks. I see what yeah, you did
like,
there.
So, like they have a kiss and, like, get a cab and all that.
And then we cut from the cab to their wedding.
Yes.
So.
And they have, like, a fool's, like, their wedding cake is more fool's gold.
Yeah. And then the credits start rolling, and it's the 18 months in between.
Well, yeah, like, I love it because, like,
it's like an animated.
Before that starts happening, it's like, you know, we have them at their wedding. Mm-hmm. And
all the baby, the apocalyptic baby has arrived too.
Yes.
And you could just see the literal, like, I'm going to avoid this as long yeah. as I can well, and Wallace.
And you find out that, you know, that he went back and, like, he went to med school in Asia. You know, yeah. so that, like, he was nearer to Chantry.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, that, like, he went and got his medical degree there. But, like, the very end of the movie is he's climbed out onto yes. the roof.
I do have that.
And, like, I don't have, like, much of the dialogue because it's basically just.
She climbs up with him.
Yeah. Like, he's up on the roof and she climbs out there and he, I can't remember, it's basically he's saying something. He's like, oh, you know, I just need to get out of there for a second. And she's like, oh, well, did you need to get away from me too? And he's like, oh, no, of course not. But, you know, they just end up, like, she comes down on the roof and, like, sits in front of him. And, like,
he's just holding her.
Yeah, and, like, he's just got his arms wrapped around her.
She's leaned back against him.
Yeah, and it's again, just that subtle kind of, and, like, they're very cozy and, like, very comfortable together. And it's just more banter, like,
well, because he says something like, we should go back in, and or she said we should go back in, and then or we could stay forever,
yeah.
And that's kind of the end of the movie,
pretty
yeah.
much. It's like, but, you know, again, like, it's flavored with that kind of, like, quirky banter yeah. that the two of them have. And then, yeah, the,
what was I talking about, having sex, and it's going to get yeah. better and better and better.
Yeah, yeah, that's
until
what it is.
When they're 90, they're going to die from how good the sex is, basically.
Yeah, that's but, what it was.
But yeah, then the credits roll, and the credits are animated what happened in those 18 months.
Yeah.
Like, you see him going to the Taiwan Medical School, and you yeah. see, which and then them traveling to India, and him proposing to her in India.
Yeah.
That was, I love that. I thought that was yeah. super clever. A super clever way of showing us what happened in the 18 months, if we cared to see.
Yes.
I love that. I'm such a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I mean, I think they stay together.
Agreed.
Obvious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I think it was just a really cute movie that I didn't expect to be as cute as it was.
And I will agree.
Because Daniel Radcliffe has done these, like, really wacky, just slightly off-kilter, off-center things. And this is slightly off-center in certain ways, but it's also not.
Right.
That I think I anticipated it being much more off-center than it was.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be way more, like, weird and quirky mm-hmm. than it wound up being.
Well, and because, like, just the nature of movies like these. And from the trailer, I was expecting Chantry to be, like, much more, like, Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah.
And when she wasn't, I was like,
no.
she's an actual human being, like,
with foibles. And
yeah,
the fact that she was willing to admit she was lying to herself, she had, because he points out in the fight, we didn't bring this up, he actually points out, he's like, it's not like I was in this alone, you led
yes.
me on.
Oh, yeah, because he mentions the, you know, like, I'll look if you look, like, what
yeah.
was that? Did you tell Ben about that?
Because she's like, I never gave you any inclinations, anything more, and he goes, no, that's crap, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
we were in this together.
And, like, I like that he calls her on
yes.
that, too, because, and that's when she does the I lied to myself kind of bit later.
Yeah.
Like, those fit so well, and I'm just like, I love that they both owned that they weren't perfect people, and that's,
yeah.
to me, such a great thing to do in a movie.
Yes. Like, I appreciated that so much. Mm-hmm. And again, like, typically, like, when I'm watching these movies is my, like, my brain just absorbs what I'm seeing, and, like, I take my notes, and it's all just kind of very service level, but, like, once you and I start having these conversations is when, like, it's, like, the slide puzzle and everything
yeah.
moves
yeah,
into
yeah.
place. And, you know, that's when I start, like, really thinking about it, and, like, just sort of like on the base level, like I said, it's very quirky, and, like, after a while, like, I just kind of get tired of some of the supporting characters, mm-hmm. and it's just, I think it's just because I know those types of people in real life, and they annoy the piss
That's
out
fair.
Of me.
That's fair.
It's a thing, you know, because as I mentioned to you, we, you know, like, there are some people in this movie that remind me of, like,
real people we know, yeah.
People that we know. And you remember those times in college of like, I love so-and-so. I just need to be away from them for a little while.
Yeah, I need an hour on my own.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of how I felt about some of this movie. It was like some of the characters in this movie. But overall, like, I appreciated a lot more than I thought I was going to. And again, and it goes to, this movie does subtlety very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets, because like the, like how deftly the subtlety is handled, it lets your brain kind of fill in things instead of, it's very like showing, not telling.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, what did you rate this movie?
I'm going to go 3.5.
That's what I did. I did 3.5 as well.
Because, like, I, as much as I enjoyed it, and, like, there are things that I really, really like about it, it's one I probably don't really need to see it again for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm good. It's not, like, you know, it's not one of those, like, romantic movies that, like, I'm going to be watching on repeat. You know?
Yeah.
But I do very much appreciate it, and I really wish that Daniel Radcliffe did more contemporary work.
Yeah, or at least I'd enjoy him some more rom-com stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
He's so good at comedy, and, like, slapsticky comedy is always...
That
scene where he knocks Ben out the window is one of the best.
It is pure farce, and like it is so good.
Like it's impossible to describe how funny it is.
Yeah, like you just kind of have to see it. But yeah. It's really, really good. This movie, like I would recommend it. I think everybody like should see it at least once.
Yeah,
may not be everybody's cup of tea, but you know, just go in.
Yeah,
appreciating it.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else to add, Dolly?
That's all I have.
I have nothing else. So that'll get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.